Golly, this is so great. Let's watch some fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
Coming at you. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited, unfortunately unedited, from the mean streets of Danville, California, Wilmington, North Carolina, with Jacinta, of course, up in north, in the red corner, in the igloo, the one and only Prados, and of course, the man down south, the man who always gives, the one and only Tyron Woodley, the middle finger, Marco from Waco. Let's meet the host, kids. Coming at you tonight, by the way, we will go UFC Fight Night 114 in Mexico City, Mexico. And of course, we will chat to the one and only boxing striking coach extraordinaire, and actually black belt, the one and only Angelo Reyes. So let's meet the host, boys. Coming out of the North Carolina Blue Devil corner, the pretty woman herself, one gave GG a belly dance. That's fair. The one and only Pam, hit it.
Hey, bienvenidos y buenas tardes. How's everybody? And not to be confused with South, I am from the South.
100%. Not only is she from the South, but I heard she's working with Andy Cohen on trying to get a New Carolina show. Right, Aaron? Thank you, Aaron. All right, let's go up to the igloo we go, guys. It may be 99 degrees right now. As Pam would say, that's wetter weather, man, in the mean streets of Danville, California. It is, right? But up north, I'm pretty sure they don't need air conditioning because they have it built in into the igloo. Hit the music! I always do the Muttley on that one. Oh my God. The only one that holds it straight is Marco. Marco does not laugh on that one. He just does what's up again on that, but it makes me laugh, guys. Let's play this for Jacinta.
What's that?
Pam, if you post a picture of Jacinta, I might actually play Careless Whisper. But let's meet the man who always gives Tyron Woodley half a peace sign. You got nothing? Okay, never mind.
I'll get it myself.
The man who always gives Tyron Woodley half a peace sign. Hit it!
From Hueco Rur, Viva Mexico!
Damn, that sounds good. Viva New Mexico. Guys, before we get into the card that was UFC Fight Night 114, let's get into this. UFC 214, forgive me. Proteus and I actually chatted about this on air on Sunday, but I thought it was really just...
big card.
It broke my heart, frankly, to see Daniel Cormier being a human being, frankly, and taking the loss harder than I thought anyone would take it, especially someone that's as Proteus, I fare to say, as great as he is, perhaps the second best light heavyweight ever to grace the octagon. Pro?
Indeed. Indeed. I agree with you 100%. It was heart-wrenching, but... It's unfortunate that two greats have to exist at the same time. You know what I mean? But as we know, this is the fight game. There can only be one winner.
You know what? After the fact, it was kind of sad to see Cormier on that stage. He's not going to be too upset today when he looks at his bank account, because his all the reports are true that this paper did over a million buys. He's going to be pretty happy with his bank account. So he can, you know, wipe his tears with those $100 bills, man. But besides that, man, what an outstanding card. What an outstanding card. Anybody that said that John Jones is not the GOAT, lose my number right now, because he's the greatest of all time. You know, you can debate whether he's number one, number two, pound for pound now with Demetrius Johnson. But what a performance from the guy. Whatever you want to say about his past and what he has done and he'll redeem or whatever, what he does in the octagon is virtuoso, is second to none. And that is why we love watching the guy fight.
Pero la tristeza de Daniel me rompió el corazón. Oh,
darn!
But, you know what?
That's good R rolling, too. Did you guys hear that? Do that again.
Oh, exactly.
Seriously.
I didn't understand a word, but I heard it.
Oh, I said his sadness broke my heart. But you know what I do have to say is, you know, as much as I'm really not a fan of John Jones and his antics and such, you know, his post-fight speech I thought was really a class act. It was really, I'm sure for him to say those things that he said really was a lot for him to say that. So I applaud his post-interview that he did.
Whether he meant those statements or not, it's a good first step in the right direction. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, even if he didn't meant it, the fact that he said them in public, it's a good step in the right direction. So good for him.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's talk about this because Proteus and I went over this quickly, but we are live and we are having a conversation. That's how real people speak. But the fact that Joe Rogan, I don't know if he was confused. He clearly apologized several times, but he, again, went against his own rule and chatted with someone that was concussed.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, he's spoken about what a no-no it is to interview fighters right after the fight. But I think because the magnitude of this fight, he kind of overstepped his own boundaries, but then as soon as he did it, you could tell that he really regretted it. And I don't think he meant to do it as, you know, any type of harm or foul. He truly wanted to get his reaction. And after he heard the response, and that he realized that he had made a mistake, and he did, you know, make a public apology. So, you know, live and learn. You can't take it back. It already happened, but you can see from what he did that that's something that will never happen again.
Yeah, I can disagree a little bit. I think that in certain occasions it's guaranteed, especially in a fight of this magnitude. And even though, you know, Cormier was a little bit concussed and, you know, a little bit emotional, I think at the end of the day, it makes it a more sympathetic figure because a lot of people are talking about it and on a very good line when it comes to Daniel Cormier, you know? I mean, what he said was the most honest assessment of the rivalry. How can it be a rivalry if you lose the two fights? And a lot of people kind of sort of felt him for that. Yeah, he will always be the number two, like, heavyweight ever. And like I said, like, the Alistair Overeem situation, yeah, the guy was talking nonsense after he got knocked out. That is why that was a bad look. But Cormier did not talk any nonsense. He took a very honest assessment in a very emotional state. And I will think, if you really want to do those interviews, it's not the fighter that has to make the decision and not the promotion. I think the corner is the one that has to protect their fighter. And they should have, because they know their fighter better, and they can assess whether or not he's, you know, up there enough to say, okay, you might want to say a couple of words, go ahead. Or no, we're going to take our fighter back to get checked out by the doctors. So it's up to the corners and their coaches that are the ones that know the fighter better than anybody else to protect the fighter that doesn't want him to be exposed like that.
Tony, if I may real quick, I'm going to re-express what I said on Sunday. And I believe Joe Rogan actually kind of hinted to what I was saying on Sunday. You could tell on Sunday that the man had been doing too much, okay? You could tell that, you know, his schedule is might be getting to him. And he said as much yesterday on his own podcast that he cannot continue to be doing all three things. He cannot continue to do stand-up, he cannot continue to do the UFC, and he cannot continue to do his podcast at the rate that he's doing it and come out alive. I just think that what we saw was, you know, Joe Rogan get into just his training. I mean, forever and a day, they're going to tell him in his ear to do the interview with Daniel Cormier. And I don't for one second believe that no one said to him, interview Daniel Cormier. I think, honestly, guys, and I might be throwing shade here, but I do believe that the UFC did tell him to do that. And once it started to look bad, they said abort. And then just Joe Rogan, you know, jumped on a landmine there. to be honest with you. That's the way I feel about it because, you know, Joe Rogan looked very tired. He looks very drawn out. We haven't seen Joe like that before. And I think this new tour that he's on is really affecting him. And I think that he realized he can't continue to do this. I agree with you, Tony. Thank you very much.
those death stars are getting to him. I tell you.
Yeah, they might be. You know what? They might be.
God, I told you, one of those things knocked me out. A tip of one of those knocked me out for 6 hours. Oh my God.
Never mind eight, right?
Member of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
So many inside jokes. I apologize. Anyway, Tony, take the show back, please. I got on my high horse again.
Well, I would if Prados would stop sending me photos of Alexa Grasso. This is getting a little...
Sorry, guys.
All right, let's move on, guys. Tyron Woodley will go quickly on this, guys. Marco's favorite buddy, so I'm going to throw to him first. Let's try to go quickly on this one, guys. Tyron Woodley,
right.
I wanted to call Junkie today, actually. But I couldn't get in. By the time I called, there was some busted open show that I know what it is, but I don't listen to. No offense to them. I'm sure they're great at what they do. I just don't listen to professional wrestling. But Tyron Woodley, allegedly, Marco fights injured. And allegedly, Pam, because he's injured, he's unable to throw a lot of strikes. And a lot of people started booing. But I'll tell you this. Here was going to be the impetus of my call, Proteus. The fact that I was the first one to bag on fighters that are medically cleared to fight and they don't want to fight because they don't want to lose out. But Tyron Woodley, guys, sorry, Marco, I'm going to say this. If he, in fact, really was injured and still fought a dangerous guy like Jansport Maia, I got to give it up to him, guys, because I didn't know he was injured. So I'm going to throw to Marco as he gives Tyron the middle finger. Go ahead, Marco.
Okay. First of all, for a second there, dude, the audio completely disappeared on my end. I couldn't hear you at all. But technical difficulties aside, dude, I'm not denying that the game plan for Tyron Woodley was perfect. He did what he was supposed to do. He stopped 24 takedowns. He marked up Demian Maia. But what I call it now, Tyron, the chosen to be boarding Goodley in his last two fights, had played way too safe. I mean, he won the title in outstanding fashion, knocking out Robbie Lawler. Then he got an epic fight on the first Stephen Wonderful Thompson fight that was a draw. And then after that, he fought super safe against Wonderboy, the second fight. And on this one, he took fighting safe to the next level. I mean, people used to complain about George St. Pierre fighting safe. Tyron Woodley make it ridiculous. It is frustrating when you know the guy is a superior striker. He's a superior athlete that already got figured out the guy, you know, that Mark Carr, he got hurt with his hand. And the guy cannot take him down, he could not put him away. Even if he could not put him away, give me a little bit more often. Give me something to get excited about. I mean, it wasn't just me. It was 16,610 people in Anaheim that agreed with me, you know? And that is the problem with Tyron Woodley. If you know and you can see that the guy is so superior to the other combatant that you could take him away or at least make it so one-sided that, you know, there is no doubt that who was the most dominant fighter, great, you know? And entertain, you got to make your case to get the next big fight. This was the George St. Pierre fight, whatever, if they didn't give it to him, whatever. But because of the way he fought, knowing the guy can be a killer when he wants to be a killer, you know, it enter the Dungeon King fight, enter the Carlos Condi fight, enter the freaking, you name it fight. That is what is frustrating about Tyron Woodley. So that is what I got a beef with him. Yeah, great for him for winning. But no great the way he did it.
Marco was basically backing up everything I said on Sunday on the recap show for 214. the more I have to think about it, and the more I hear, you know, Errol Hawani backing up Tyron Woodley, and I didn't even listen to Tyron Woodley on it because I didn't want to hear what he had to say on the MMA Fortnite.
Ouch.
Listen, the point is, Tony, he cheated twice. Tyron Woodley cheated twice. Okay, he took away two takedowns by grabbing the cage.
Yeah.
He was warned on the first one. And on the second one, apparently the ref did not see it. Both of those takedowns could have resulted in JanSport taking Tyron Woodley's back and finishing the damn fight. But unfortunately, the Dundasso rules apply apparently in this fight, and you don't get any points taken away for grabbing the cage the first time. Did we not learn from Jose Aldo knocking out Chad Mendez? Did we not learn that grabbing the cage is illegal? I think they're warned about that fact in the back before they even get to the octagon. So I don't support Tyron Woodley at all here in this. Yes, you may have injured yourself. You may have gone into a fight with an injury. That happens. Everybody does it. As I said on Sunday, Tony, you know, GSP, everybody got on GSP's case for being boring. You know what? At least GSP took it to the ground, pounded your face, pounded your side, pounded whatever. Yeah, maybe he got a decision, but he was still working. Tyron Woodley did nothing but stay on the outside. And, you know, when Damian Maia is in trying to take you down, he doesn't look impressive all the time. Let's be honest. It sometimes he looks terrible. But I think those two particular fouls should be put into this equation about this fight, Tony. I think he cheated, and I think that he probably would have gotten finished. But we can't know that because he didn't get to the ground. Pam.
I'll do some ground and pound with GSP. Anyway, you know.
Hold on, we messed up that one. Oh, I was not expecting that one. You know what, guys? She's been hanging around with us a little too much. Hang on.
Oh,
hear the music.
You know, I know, right? Okay, so this fight, granted, it was not the most exciting, or not even a little bit exciting. But, you know, like Marco said, the outcome is he kept his belt, and that's what the outcome of the fight is. And I think what happens is we kind of get spoiled with these crazy fights, like the Hicknick and Ricardo Lamas fight. You know, that's what we want to see. And, you know, Tyron Woodley played it safe like he did the last fight and the fight before. You know, and it benefits him. He's trying to keep the belt, and he accomplished what he did. Was it the greatest fight in the world? No, it wasn't. But at the same time, we have to keep in mind, you know, we're civilized people. We're not watching gladiators. So, you know, I hate, the one thing that I do hate from when I do go to the fights is that when they start doing that woo, you know, that owl calling in the boos. I hate the boos because any of these, you know, can of biscuits wouldn't last 2 seconds in the octagon. So, you know, was it the most exciting fight? No. He retained his belt, which is what he went to do, was retain his belt. Now, I'm just wondering when the Woodley-Lawler rematch is going to be, if it's going to be.
Yeah, let's hope.
Not anytime soon, according to Woodley, because, you know, he fought four times within a year, so he's going to take some time off. Of course he is.
Of course he is.
Oh, he's sure making himself a lot of fans. Guys, let's really, we have about 25 minutes left before Angelo Reyes, so let's go ahead and get into this. We got to flash through this, unfortunately. Friend to the show, unfortunately, Tanya Evinger. I think she fought a great fight, and I think she was a little hard on herself because she lasted longer than I've seen anyone in quite some time go with Cyborg. Tanya, friend to the show, Tanya Evinger, gets finished via TKO in the third. We all got a mulligan on that one, guys. Quickly on this, Pam, I'm going to throw to you because you were the one that the impetus to get Tanya on the show. What say you about this fight?
You know, I texted with her, actually, I think it was Sunday, and I just told her, you know, it was a great fight. You did great. Minor setback, and she messaged me, and I'm really bummed. I'm sorry I let you guys down. And I was like, you know, it's not a letdown. I mean, you were the one person that had the balls enough to step in the cage with this woman, even going up out of your weight class. So to hang in there for three rounds when everybody was saying, oh, she's going to get murdered in the first round. And even Brendan Schaub had posted something. He had said, anybody feel sorry for Tanya right now? And she messaged, shut up, stupid. So, I don't take anything away from her. I give her, you know, so much credit, and just for stepping in there with Cyborg when nobody wanted to. So, you know, kudos to her. I don't have anything bad, nor will I ever say anything bad about her. She's a trooper, and she stuck in there and, you know, did as best as she could.
Yeah, if anything, Tanya raised a profile for her toughness, man, because everybody thought she was just a sacrificial lamb. In a way, she was, you know, she still got finished on the third, but she hung up in there, and she tried to put an honest fight. You know, what I want for her going forward is an immediate, and I mean an immediate number one contender spot on 135. Because she not only deserved it, but she earned it. With the Godsey performance that she put in there, she deserved to fight for a number one contender spot. I mean, if they want to put Holly Hunt to fight Chris Cyborg, go ahead. If the randomly freaking finally grow the balls to take the fight, go ahead. But Tammy Avenger deserves to be in a number one contender fight, so she will be the next one to face either Amanda Nunes or Shevchenko for that 135 title. If they do anything less than that, that will be a disservice to Tammy Avenger, because this girl is so ballsy, she is so game, you know, and she went out there and gave her all. And, you know, anything less than that, I will be completely outraged and pissed off about it.
I agree. Okay, ¿quién están durmiendo? ¿Están dormidos? ¿Qué está pasando?
Tony?
Yeah, I've already given my opinion on this, so we can move on, Tony, if you're ready.
Yeah, let's move on, guys. So one thing I will say, hey, once we get Angelo Reyes on, and forgive me for doing this on the air, but we'll go in our regular rotation. We'll go Pam, Proteus, Marco, and then me. We'll probably go about 2 to 3 rounds with Angelo and then let him be. He was kind enough to give us 20 minutes, and hopefully he'll do that for us quite a bit. Of course, we will talk. Ana Houlatan, who's one of his fighters. He, of course, trains Frank Mir. And let's not forget, guys, he's in the thick of it with Mayweather-McGregor, Proteus's favorite topic. Guys, let's get into this. We're going to work from the top on down.
Sorry to apologize. I apologize for interrupting you. Go ahead, Tony.
All right, guys. So we're going to work different right now just because we're running out of time, and we'll have to probably fit the rest of the card behind Angelo Reyes. But let's go with this, you guys. UFC Fight Night, Pettis versus Moreno, guys. And this is going to be also known as UFC Fight Night 114. It will be held this Saturday, August 5th, at the Arena Ciudad de Mexico, City, Mexico. UFC Fight Night 114, to the flyweight we go, guys. Sergio Pettis versus Brandon Moreno. Sergio Pettis, guys, unfortunately everyone likes to say this, and I think he's probably not happy. The younger brother of Anthony Pettis, and don't look now, I forgot where I stole this from, guys, but Sergio Pettis has the same amount of UFC victories as Anthony Showtime Pettis. 15-2, guys, 23 years young, and he will fight Brandon, the assassin baby Moreno, guys, from Tijuana, Mexico. 14-3, guys, and boy, I'll be honest with you, Brandon Moreno is a lot better than I thought he was going to be in the Tough House. We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, will it be the phenom Pettis, or will it be the assassin baby Moreno?
Mexico versus Puerto Rico. How do you like that? Ah, man, I'm so excited about this fight. Sergio Pettis is not the little brother of Anthony Pettis anymore. He's creating his own legacy. He has looked really good at 125, man, after his little stink at 135. These are two guys that both of these guys literally are the future of 125. They're both 23 years old. They're super young. They haven't even hit their prime yet. And a little bit of a bomb that they're facing each other in this cylinder career. But believe me, it's not the first time they're going to face each other. You will see them clashing heads again, probably in the future for a title fight against each other again. We're trying to build contenders for Demetrius Johnson. As long as Demetrius Johnson is around, nobody's touching that belt. So it's just the reality. But I like this fight. Brandon Moreno comes out of nowhere, out of the ultimate fighter Latin America, you know, a very scrappy guy. He's good everywhere. And that is the surprising part, because usually the Mexican fighters are very boxing-centric. But this guy is good everywhere. Anthony Pettis, everybody knows, he's a Taekwondo-style striker with the Duke Rufus freaking camp. And, you know, his wrestling coach has been asking him, for crying out loud. I'm going with a little bit more non-commodity Sergio Pettis, because I think that even though Moreno is good, I think Sergio Pettis is a little bit more refined and better. He's the lankier guy. He's very tall for for the weight class. He's going to have the reach advantage, and he's going to dictate the space with his kicks. If Moreno takes it to the ground, I think Pettis is good enough to scramble back up and keep it on the feet. He's a five-round fight, guys. These guys not really known for their knockout power, but known for, you know, their ability to strike well. And I've seen on the long run, because it's a five-round fight, I've seen Pettis is going to be able to keep a decent pace and outpoint Moreno. They both train in altitude for this fight. Remember, this is Mexico City, so it's something to watch out for. But I'm still going to ride out with Sergio Pettis, a more well-known commodity. I think he's going to set himself up really good for either a number one contender fight or a next title shot if, you know, DJ doesn't decide to fight TJ Dillashaw or Dominic Cruz or something like that after he beats Ray Borg. So I get Sergio Pettis in a unanimous decision, 48-47.
So, Marco, going with Sergio the Phenom Pettis via unanimous decision, we go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be the Phenom or not the baby assassin, the assassin baby, Brandon Moreno?
Okay, you know, this is, on paper, this is a really good fight. I mean, these guys are virtually identical. But Brandon Moreno actually does have the height and reach advantage by 1 inch. So you're looking at these guys. Sergio Pettis is a stand-up fighter, black belt in kickboxing, second-degree black belt in taekwondo, blue belt in jiu-jitsu. His first round finish was in 2013. After that first round finish, his fights, all his wins from 2013 have gone all rounds. So keep that in mind. He is great at his footwork and boxing. So now we're looking at Brandon Moreno. He's coming off of 11 straight wins. He's a jiu-jitsu national champion, but what I see that gives him a little bit of edge over is he has wins over Ryan Benoit and Alex Castedes, who Baby Showtime lost to. And his last loss was in 2012. He's got 10 wins by submission, and I'm picking him for a second-round submission. And I'm marking this one as the fight of the night as well.
So, Pam, going Hello? Fight of the night submission for Brandon Moreno. Marco. Going Pettis, so we're split on this one, Proteus. I'm going to throw to you, Proteus. Will it be the assassin baby, or will it be Sergio Pettis?
Okay, first of all, I'm looking at the odds on UFC.ca, and they don't seem to have any odds, so Tony has sent me some odds. We have Brandon Moreno at a minus 170, and Sergio Pettis coming back at us at a plus 150. Tony, do you think that's a good example of what you sent me, or should I say something else?
No, you're right. You're right on the money, Proteus.
Yeah, okay.
That's exact, and it's, you know what, and it's fair all pretty much all across the board. So you're right on the money.
Yeah, I see that. Okay, so unfortunately, we don't have any odds from UFC or UFC.ca today. I guess this show is not important enough for the company to make their odds. So here's my thing. I think that Marco makes a lot of good points about both fighters. I don't know if we can bet against the assassin baby right now. I mean, the last three fights, two of them have been performance of the night candidates. Of course, they are also winners of that particular designation. Yes, they're both from submission, and both of them have been very, very impressive. Is this a step up in competition for the assassin baby? I do believe so. I do believe that Sergio Pettis is going to be a maybe a pretty good tough test for Brandon Moreno, but you never know, because this guy's Dustin Poole. You know what I mean? You think he's out of the fight, or you don't know who he is, and all of a sudden he's putting on this this performance of the night performances. I think that I can't bet against Moreno. I'm going to take him by second round submission once again. Ooh. Tony, I just feel it. I just feel like, you know, Sergio just we talked to him on the Ariel show on Monday. He said he had arrived on the Tuesday before. I don't know if that's enough time to get acclimatized to that particular amount of elevation, Tony. I don't know. I have my doubts about the Pettis brothers.
You know what, Proteus? I don't disagree with you. I'm going to make mine really quick as we have probably time for one more before Angelo calls in. So Marco going Pettis via decision. Pam taking the assassin baby via submission. Proteus echoing that sentiment in the second round. And I, too, am going with Proteus on this one and Pam. Second round sub for Brandon Moreno. All right, let's move down the card we go, guys, to the women's strawweight we go. And unfortunately, we're going to have to hear Pony and Careless Whisper tonight, because the one and only Alan Jobon is fighting for Pam, and she said she'd like some ground and pound from GSP and the one and only Alan Jobon. But we will Randa Marcos, the Quiet Storm, 31 years young, guys, 7-4, and I actually really liked her in a tough house. I thought she'd be a little stronger than her record shows thus far in the UFC, but she certainly is still there and changing her hair colors and changing her ways. And she will fight the one and only Buffalo Blues favorite, Alexa Grasso. Alexa Grasso, guys, 23 years young, 9-1. And I honestly thought she would be a little better off than she's been so far in the UFC, but she's 1-1, guys. So we are throwing to the beautiful Pam. Actually, you know what? I'm switching it because Pam's going to head Alan Jobon. So I'm going to throw it to Pro. I'm switching things around, Pro.
Yes, sir.
Will it be John Anik's favorite, the Quiet Storm Marcos, or will it be the beautiful Alexa Grasso?
Yeah, Tony, my concern is with Marcos. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I know that Grasso is not ranked according to the UFC at this moment, but and they both have like a win-loss record. My concern is with Marcos. I don't know if like as we talked about on Sunday's show, whether or not the competition has already surpassed her in this short period of time that, you know, this division has been opened. And I think that Grasso kind of has learned from the last loss, I hope. I think she's going to be much more improved. Of course, Marcos will be kind of the bigger fighter. You know, she's have that weight advantage. I am going to go with Alexa Grasso in this one. I may regret it in the end. But I do think that she's going to be able to tough it out against Marcos. I'm going to go with a decision here, though, Tony. I can't really see a finish happening. So I just think that Grasso is going to outwork Marcos and get a decision.
You know what? I don't disagree with you there at all, guys. I think Proteus is right. I'm just echoing this to move the card along. But I'm also going with Grasso via decision. I think she'll fight a little better than she's fought of late. And I think it's just the fact that she's 23 years old and young. But that's what I think. I'm going to move on to we're going to go to Marco. Marco, will it be the Quiet Storm Marcos? Marcos, hey, Marco and Marcos. Will it be the Quiet Storm Marcos, or Marco, will it be Alexa Grasso?
Yeah, this fight is tailor-made for Alexa Grasso to China and Mexico City, dude. They wouldn't put Ronda Marcos, that is basically a journey woman, against a real prospect in Alexa Grasso, you know. Grasso's boxing is way superior than Ronda Marcos. And if she come back to form on the way that she was dispatching women on Invicta, this is Alexa Grasso's fight to lose. I'm picking Grasso, and I'm going to pick it with second-round TKO because I think she's going to be able to...
Wow.
To push the pace like she did in Invicta, pink Marco against a freaking cage and unleash a barrage of punches where Alexa Grasso won't be able to answer, and the referee is just going to call it. Yeah, Alexa Grasso is the most talented fighter, the most marketable fighter, the better-looking fighter. She speaks two languages, for crying out loud. And for, I'm just being biased. Alexa Grasso is the superior athlete here. So she's going to dispatch of Ronda Marcos and, you know, keep her as a tone for better fighters, in this case being Ronda, Alexa Grasso. Alexa Grasso, second round TKO.
Proteus going with Grasso decision. I echo that. Marco going with Grasso, second round TKO. The beautiful Pam we go. Pammy, is it going to be Alexa Grasso or is it going to be Proteus's countrywoman, Ronda Marcos?
I guess y'all must have not watched her fight with Felice Herrig. You know, I got on the bandwagon with you guys. I'm like, okay, I'm going. And I was so disappointed. I was like, oh, where's this phenomenal woman that was supposed to beat everybody's ass and got schooled by Felice Herrig, who is a wrestler. And what is Ronda Marcos? She's a freaking wrestler. Grasso has the reach advantage, but Ronda has, her legs are longer, and she's a submission artist. She's a wrestler. She's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. Her last three wins have been by decision. Her last sub win was in 2014, but her loss is also, you know, by decision. So she's not been KO'd. I got to go with Marcos on this one. I think her wrestling is going to be too much because Grasso is not a grappler, as we saw in the Herrig fight. And I'm going to take a third-round submission on this one for Marcos.
Wow. So, Pammy, the only one that being a maverick going third-round submission with choosing our Ronda Marcos, that's certainly ballsy. There's no doubt about it. Let's go with the odds on this one, Proteus. Do you want to give them out?
Sure. Yeah, let me just go back into your message that you sent me here. So Alexa Grasso coming at us at a minus 160, and Marcos coming back at us at a plus 140. So still a pretty close fight. Yes, Tony?
Without a doubt. That's yeah, as Mark would say, a pick 'em. Yeah. All right, guys. Yeah. We have about 5 minutes before Angelo Reyes comes on, so let's do quickly, guys. Let's do even though we have a couple more fights on the docket, right? We have a couple more fights on the docket, guys. But let's do this. Let's do a fight of the night for now, and then we'll go back to the other two fights.
Oh, okay.
Fight of the night. We go to the one and only Pam. Pam, what is your fight of the night?
I think it's going to be Pettis Moreno. That's my spotlight fight, and I think it's going to be fight of the night as well.
All right, let's go with the spotlight fight of the night. I'm going to throw to Marco. Marco, what is your spotlight fight of the night?
It's not the spotlight fight, but the spotlight fighter. Diego Rivas, a Chilean undefeated fighter from Temuco, is fighting on this card on the prelims. Keep an eye on this kid, man. He's the real deal. Black belt in jiu-jitsu and a boxing background. We saw Santiago Ponzinibbio from Argentina murk Gunny Nelson. We're going to see Diego Rivas murk whoever the hell he's fighting on Saturday. And they are planning to go to Chile and Argentina with one of these fight nights, either at the end of this year or beginning of next year. So they are banking on these guys to do well so they can headline. Watch Diego Rivas.
There's actually quite a few number of undefeated fighters. Proteus, Roberto Sanchez, 7-0. Joseph Morales, 8-0. Diego Rivas, Marco's favorite at 7-0. There's quite a few. And not to mention, Pammy, we're going to cue the music for you later on this one. Nico Price and, of course, Martin Bravo. I don't know if that one is worth – well, erase – I don't have a I don't have a clue whether or not he's never mind. All right, guys, let's move on quickly before we get into everything that is boxing and Mayweather McGregor.
Well, Brody doesn't get a spotlight fight.
Oh, forgive me. I was just testing to see if you guys were paying attention. Proteus, what is your spotlight fight of the night? By the way, Marco, you passed. Proteus, your spotlight fight of the night.
Well, I thank you very much for all of you for giving me some time while my wife walked noisily through the room with her flip-flops. My spotlight fight of the night. Yeah, my spotlight fight of the night. Of course, if you have been listening to the show, as Marco has said in the past, spotlight fight of the nights are not on the main card. They are on every other fight except for the main card. So I am taking Dustin Ortiz versus Hector the Kid Alex Sandoval. I think this is an exciting fight, guys. And of course, I was just taking a jab at you in good fun.
Guys, my spotlight fight of the night, guys, and this should be no surprise to you guys or anyone that listens to the show. Any single time Hani Yahya fights, I'm going to choose Hani Yahya. Any fight he's in, just simply because my wife calls me what? Hani Yahya. So, Enrique Briones versus Hani Yahya is my spotlight fight of the night. Whereas we're waiting for Angelo Reyes, we got about a minute, guys. Let's get into this, guys. Clearly, what we saw is that some of the cards are kind of being overshadowed by some of the Mayweather-McGregor yeah. stuff. Did you guys see in UFC 214 that it was more of a promo for Mayweather-McGregor?
Right?
Or did it seem to you like, was it me? Or I'm going to throw it to you, Pam.
Wow.
What did it look like to you?
No, because I'm like, you know what? No, because I was watching and I paid my $50 or whatever. I'm like, I don't want to see this shit. I don't give a shit about this. I want to watch my fights. I don't want to watch this shit. I want to see my fights. I want to see real live MMA fights. I don't give a mess about boxing and you know, no, I don't want to see that. I want to see fights. I don't go advertise someplace else on fucking SportsCenter or something.
So Pam clearly giving her point of view. Yeah, Pam clearly giving her point of view. And by the way, Paul giving the show a big shout out. I'm going to throw to you, Marco. Marco, do you agree with Pam?
No. That's what you're supposed to do. UFC 213.
You know what? Let me get more pins ready. How about that?
UFC on Fox, they promote the shit out of UFC 214. That is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to promote. And the UFC is invested in this fight because they're making money out of it. So, of course, they're going to promote it. I don't mind it, you know. I mean, it is, whether we like it or not, and I know Proteus and Japan don't like the concept, but it's the biggest freaking combat sports event this month. And it's just the reality of it. And it's probably going to break records, going to make a lot of money, and it's going to come and go, and then we're going to forget about it and go back to the way the things are supposed to be. But in the meantime, enjoy it for what it is, man. It's going to be a spectacle. I'm going to watch. I'm not going to lie. They got my money. I want to see what happens. Probably McGregor is going to lose.
I thought they disbanded the circus.
Yeah.
Oh, the new boom again.
Pam's on fire tonight,
fire,
guys.
So subtle.
All right,
about,
guys.
Talking about that. Why did they took the circus away? What's wrong with people?
All right, guys.
We don't like clowns.
Because we have the great Angelo Reyes calling, so I'm going to intro him right in, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, we are blessed to have someone that I absolutely love on Junkie Radio and someone that I get a kick out of all the time, Angelo Reyes. As I will read from his bio in Twitter, a Filipino-American proud father, MMA striking coach and renowned, actually, striking coach, boxing coach, karate black belt, martial arts instructor, and most importantly, Angelo, with your personality, co-host to the Cage Siders with Alan Tremblay, the one and only Angelo Reyes. Angelo, welcome to Amp Radio.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thank you so much. I'm sorry I'm a little late to the program. I actually just met up with Paulie Malignaggi. He's here sparring Connor, and we're just catching up and everything. So But yeah, man, no, I'm glad to be here. And yeah, thanks, guys. If you're listening to, if you watch our TV programs, CageSiders.com, me and my my colleague Jeremy Long, he's been in the broadcast industry for over 20 years. It's a really fun show. It's one of those shows where we're not trying to give you hard hitting news that much. I mean, we do, but we don't. But we like to have fun in our program. And I think at the end of the day, you know, like this, like with this Mayweather McGregor thing, I think the people who are upset about it, they need to calm down, because at the end of the day, it's entertainment, man. If it's giving you a chance to think about something else other than a stressful, you know, day to day or whatever you're doing, then it's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing to do this Mayweather McGregor thing, because what else were we gonna talk about? We can't talk about the Raiders right now that much. We can't really talk about baseball. My Giants are not doing as good as I want them to, you know. So you know, what are we going to talk about? Are we going to talk about LeBron and Kyrie? We're not going to do that. Let's talk about Mayweather McGregor, guys.
Angelo, I wanted to ask you this, because you've trained some of the biggest stars. So before I throw to Pam, I wanted to ask you this. You've trained some of the biggest stars in MMA. You're currently working with Frank Mir. I've seen some of the footage, and gosh, Frank actually looks pretty good. Let me ask you this. As someone that's a professional like yourself, someone that is a trained black belt in karate, someone that's striking is just amazing. Obviously, you have champion Anna Houlton, someone that you've trained for quite some time. Tell me, what's the difference between MMA striking and boxing striking?
So boxing, guys, is and it's upsetting when you hear other people like a Connor say it's a limited sport, because that already tells us they don't understand. That would be like me saying jiu-jitsu is a limited sport, and jiu-jitsu is one of the most amazing arts you could really learn. But when you take something like boxing, and we're talking about striking in boxing, it is chess. It is not about your hands or how strong you think you are. It's about your mind and how smart you are and how good your positioning is and how well you have the knowledge. Can you actually be 3 to 4 to 5 steps ahead of your opponent? And a lot of times when somebody says, oh man, well, Pacquiao Mayweather was boring, that's because they don't understand what was actually happening. Now, I get it, guys. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're a casual fan, you want to see two guys hitting each other, that's not the fight you want to watch then. The fight you want to watch is Brandon Rios versus Mike Alvarado. You know, that's the fight you want to watch. Or if you want to see people like throwing down, getting kind of rough, then go watch, you're going to watch Andre Ward versus Kovalev. You know, like a match where, you know, you're getting hit in the groin, and sometimes they get called and sometimes it doesn't get called. And even most recently, like we just saw a fight with Manny Pacquiao versus Jeff Horn. And that was a pretty physical fight. I thought the referee did a terrible job of what he's supposed to do, which is to keep it clean. But when you're fighting at the highest level, and I'm talking, you're in Vegas, you're fighting Floyd Mayweather, you have great referees, you have really good judges, none of that clowning stuff is going to happen. You're not going to, you know, when Medina tried to rough up Floyd, you guys saw what happened. When Ricky Hatton tried to rough up Floyd, you saw Floyd knocked him out in the 10th round anyways. So boxing, again, it's not limited. It's actually harder. It's much harder in so many different ways. Now, because I do teach MMA striking and I teach it in a certain style, when I teach boxing for my MMA fighters like a Frank Mir, I teach it very differently. I'm not exactly teaching it the way I would show it to Frank if I was preparing Frank, let's say, for Tyson Fury, just to go straight to boxing. I have to show him a different version of it. But in MMA, I have to show him another version of it, because you have to remember this. Connor, for all the knockouts he has, and I have nothing but respect for Connor when it comes to MMA, but I've always said his boxing isn't that good. I'm one of the people that, believe me, Tony, I get a lot of hate for saying that, but the truth is, I know what I'm seeing. His boxing isn't that good. If you just go hands for hands with the guy, you know, Nate Diaz was lighting him up, if you guys remember that fight, and he was lighting him up twice. So is Connor strong? Yes. Is he conditioned? Yes. Well, I kind of expect you to be conditioned, and I kind of expect you to be strong when you're 29 years old, prime of your life, and you're an athlete. I mean, what did I expect you to look like? A 29-year-old Roy Nelson? You know, of course I expected you to be in you know, at your very best shape, but I'm not talking about shape. I'm talking about style. I'm talking about knowledge. I'm talking about strategy. And when it comes to just pure hands, honestly, guys, like I said, man, he's not at the level of Floyd Mayweather. So when we look back, why is Conor so great at MMA? Why is he such a dominant striker? Because his karate is good. Because his kicking is good. And if you're scared of his kicks, if you're scared of his front kick, if you're scared of his spin thrust kick, if you're scared of his spin heel kick, if you're scared of all of the way he positions himself, the way he does the distancing, it's excellent. So his kicking opens up his hand striking. So let me ask you this question. When is he going to get a chance to kick Floyd Mayweather? At what point was he going to get a chance to actually make Floyd get scared of his kick?
Yeah,
it was
never going to happen. You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying is like guys, when they first made the fight and I was on MMA Junkie for this, I think you were listening to the program, Tony, and you know, I was having a little bit of fun with it because you know, the other guest on that show was talking about how Conor's going to knock him out in 3 rounds. And you guys got to know, man. I mean, I put in my time in boxing, and you can't just talk to us that way. You can't talk to anybody in the boxing world the way some people talk. Because then we start to look at you like, okay, you're just an idiot. You're not even worth me responding to. So, you know, in that show, I was having a little fun with it, and I'm like, you know what? You're the exact reason why people are going to actually buy this fight, because people are going to believe that bull crap, and they're going to buy it. When the truth is, I think Floyd will knock his ass out in about 3 rounds. And then, you know, they made that a headline, and they made it a big deal, and that's fine. I don't care. After I started talking with Pauly Malignaggi, who's a longtime friend of mine. I've known him since our wild card boxing gym days. So I've known him for a decade now. And like I said, you know, here we are. We're catching up again, him and I. He just went 12 with Conor last night. And here's the thing with me. I mean, again, man, Pauly's retired. Pauly Malignaggi is retired from boxing. He's sparring Conor. So, you know, I'm not going to talk about the sparring. All I'm going to say is, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm looking at my boy. He looks just fine to me. And when I used to watch Manny Pacquiao spar, or when I've seen Floyd spar, Floyd and Manny would put a beating on their sparring partners. Well, I'm looking at my man, and he doesn't look like he's beating up to me. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying, you know, like, so maybe Conor's holding some Mystic Mac fucking potion that I don't know about, or maybe he's holding back. I mean, I don't know. All I know is what I see with my eyes. And at the end of the day, man, you know, he's going to find out real quick. Conor's going to find out real quick that he got greedy. He got greedy. And he's the one that's about to find out the boxing is not MMA. And he's going to find out real quick, because no matter how much power he thinks he has, and let's keep in mind that Pauly Malignaggi has already went on record and said he has respectable power. You got to try to read between the lines on that one, Tony. When somebody says to you, hey, Tony, you and I were sparring, bro, you got respectable power. What does that really mean? What does that really mean? You know what I mean?
Here's the thing, Tony. Yeah.
You know, like I'm just saying, if you hit the shit out of me, like when I was holding pads for the first time with Frank, and then we started going over the way I really want him to punch, and then he started hitting me with it. Then I started telling him, like, damn, bro, you have power. Like, for real, you really have power. And you start to recognize it, because it's a simple idea of weight mass times speed velocity ratio. And if your timing is good and you're doing it right, you can tell the difference between somebody who has real power and somebody who's like, all right, dude, I mean, you're cool. Like you're good enough to compete, you know, but it's not like saying, damn, your fastball is like 102 miles an hour. It's like, no, bro, you're good enough. I mean, you're good enough. That's what, you know, and that's what I mean is it's like the more Conor talks this up, like, look at what Floyd just did, guys. What did Floyd just post? You want to fucking fight in 8-ounce gloves? Let's fight in 8-ounce gloves. You see what I mean? Like, the closer Floyd gets to the fight, the more Floyd is going to be like, man, you're not going to do jack to me. I'm going to knock your ass out. And that's what I still think that's what's going to happen. I don't think it'll happen in 3 rounds now. And the reason why I didn't think that was going to happen at 3 is because during the press conference, Conor McGregor went ahead and said, I'm going to knock him out in 4 or less. So guess what, dummy? You just gave up your hand. you basically just told Floyd what you're going to try to do. Because we know for damn sure, you're not going to outpoint Floyd. So we know for damn sure you're not gonna outbox Floyd. We know that. I mean, if there's one fucking bet, yeah, nobody wants to make. I'm sorry if I'm cursing, by the way. I don't know if I can or not.
No, don't worry. We're good.
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, all right, cool. If there's one bet none of you want to make, do not bet Connor wins by decision because he outboxes Floyd Mayweather. That would be the most ridiculous bet in the world. Like, the line on that should be something insane. You know, like 104-1. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way Conor McGregor, who's never boxed before, is going to outbox and outscore and outpoint Floyd Mayweather. So the only real chance he really had was to knock out Floyd. Now, I'll tell you, a ridiculous statement. If I knew that Conor was just trying to sell the fight, then what Conor should have just done is something ridiculous. Like, I'll tell you, he's too small, his frail little legs, I'm going to knock him out in one round. Now, that would have been funny. It wouldn't have been telling. And it would have been like, okay, all right, cool. But this idiot actually believes that he can knock out Floyd Mayweather in four rounds. Well, guess what you just did? You just told Floyd what you're going to try to do. So now that Floyd knows that, he's probably going to sit there, probably let you kind of throw some punches in the first 2 to 3 rounds, just kind of feel you out, see where you're at, make you feel like, oh, yeah, you have a chance. And then he's going to take you deep in the ocean and he's going to drown you. So now I think Floyd will probably knock him out in about 9-10 rounds. Frank told me he still thinks Floyd will knock him out in 6. But believe me, you, man, if anyone is knocking out somebody, it's not Connor. It'll be Floyd. Because have you guys ever seen Floyd Mayweather knocked out? Nope. You know, the guy's barely even been knocked down. So I really can't see that. So if you're betting knockout on someone, you definitely should bet Floyd Mayweather knocking him out. I just don't know what round it would be, you know.
Angelo, I'm going to throw you to probably the biggest Connor hater on this show. The biggest Nate Diaz fan on this show. The one and only Pam. Pam, I'm throwing to you for Angelo.
Hi, Angelo. My question is this. So you have probably all of your MMA fighters who box, but boxers do not do mixed martial arts, or if they do, it's not known. So with this fight coming up, do you see a trend or a crossover as far as MMA versus boxers?
Yeah, no, it's funny you said that because I think I sent this to Tony. You can look it up, or Tony could send it to you. But about 2 years ago, when Frank brought me into the UFC and I started training him, I actually started talking about how I'm going to see this more and more, where boxers are going to go into MMA and MMA are going to go into boxing. And the reason why I felt this way is, so, you know, with my background being in karate and having had done that and run my own dojo for over 25 years, when I went into boxing, I was really lucky that I got to learn and get mentored and study under Freddie Roach. So within that sense, I understood the culture, like that it's a very deep culture. You have to have respect for the culture of boxing. And now, having had a chance to go back to martial arts and in particular mixed martial arts in 2014, because Anna Houlihan wanted to go from boxing to MMA, and she went ahead and did her debut in the Philippines. I think it was like sold out crowd of 20,000. We had Ronnie Turioff as one of her cornermen. He played for the Warriors and played for Miami for the NBA. So it was a super cool experience. Just seeing that and seeing her as a 3-time world champion boxer go right into MMA and convert in the way that she did, I do see a trend, and I've been saying it for years now, I do see this trend that it isn't that far away. That, like, boxers and MMA, it's not that far away from each other. Where the next possibilities of this happening is really going to come down to who are the minds and the coaches that can convert you. Because in truth, an MMA fighter can't just go to a regular boxing coach and learn how to box. And I mean, they can if they want to do it for fun. But if they're really trying to learn it and hone it as a skill, physically they can do it. But there's still a time frame that you have to have if you go that route. And then it's the same for boxers going into MMA. You know, like, for example, Anna Houlton, she's been training with Frank Mir now in her MMA grappling for over a year and a half, almost 2 years. And you can really see the difference now between the way she looked at grappling in 2014, 2015, versus the way she's doing it now when you see her on the mat. Because there's a certain level of time, and really more importantly, Frank Mir is such a great mind because he's been in there. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what works and what doesn't work. So he looks at someone like Anna, who also has been in there, who also knows what she's talking about, and she knows what works and what doesn't work. So they're able to, in a way, compare notes and help each other out. If you guys even look up like Anna, Frank Mir in 2005 or in 2015, there's a great article that Kevin Ioli put out that talked about how Anna Houlton was helping Frank Mir with just understanding how the hands would work and how boxing would work. And one of the coolest things about it is that Frank, being a legend that he is, he was still able to open his mind and still really be humble and be a martial artist and listen, which is one of my problems with Conor McGregor. If you study boxing, there are historical legends like Barry McGuigan from Ireland that was willing to help Conor McGregor make the transition. So when you have a legend, somebody who I look up to, a Barry McGuigan, and he's saying, I'm more than happy to help Conor, and Conor doesn't even have the mindset to open to reach out with the olive branch and say, you know what, Mr. McGuigan, we would love to have you in our team. Thank you so much. You know, that would really help out a lot. I mean, I think just recently his coach, Jamie Kavanaugh, who's a grappling coach, was talking about, I don't know, I haven't seen it yet, but one of my good friends told me about it. And he said, yeah, man, did you hear what Jamie Kavanaugh said about Freddie Roach, and what could Freddie Roach really teach Conor McGregor, blah, blah, blah. And to me, guys, I just look at that as disrespect. I just look at it like, what do you mean? I mean, first of all, you're a grappling coach, so what the hell do you know? Secondly, why would you say something like that about a seven-time trainer of the year, somebody who's a legend in the sport, somebody who would box the shit out of you right now? As old as he is, with Parkinson's, he'd beat the shit out of you if you guys went into boxing together. So why would you say anything rude like that to one of the legends of our sport? So going back to, again, your question, I think that there is this new generation now, people like Anna Houlton, who did it correctly, where they're learning the sport, they're converting from boxing, they're going into MMA, but they're learning it, they're giving it respect, and then they're doing their due diligence to not just call out people, but actually take the time to hone their craft. And honestly, I'm going to tell you guys this right now. Don't be surprised if you see Frank Mir box in 2017 or 2018, because I've had some time now to work with my guy. And I'm telling you, man, I mean, he was, when we were getting ready for his MMA matches in 2015, you know, Adam sparring Marco Hook, who was the Cruiserweight World Champion, Herman Stavern, who was the heavyweight WBC champion, you know, so I mean, not that I would say that Frank would have been ready then, but given as much time as he's had now, don't be surprised if Frank gets, you know, if this Mayweather-McGregor thing makes that much money, don't be surprised if you see a Frank Mir go into boxing 2017, 2018, and maybe do a super fight with somebody like a Tyson Fury, who again, on the reverse side, just so that you guys know, I'm not trying to hate on MMA. I don't like Tyson Fury, who was the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, and he was talking all that smack about Cain Velasquez, and he was talking all that smack about MMA fighters. Because in truth, guys, if Tyson Fury goes in a cage, he'd get destroyed. Cain Velasquez would own him in about a minute. You know, Frank would break his limb in about 30 seconds. I mean, like, you can't be Conor and just go into boxing and say, I run it. Just like a boxer can't just go into MMA and say, I am MMA. I mean, like it's just rude, man. It's just rude. But can it happen and will it happen? I think we've already seen a trend of it. I think this year you're seeing more and more. I think more, especially on the women's side, I really think that someone like Anna kind of opened that door and started having that trend. And, of course, we know that the most notable boxer to go into MMA is Holly Holm, because she slayed the dragon. She knocked out Ronda Rousey. And let me just say this too. You remember when everybody was trying to say, oh, Ronda Rousey would just grab Floyd Mayweather and take him down? Well, she couldn't even grab Holly Holm and take her down. And what do you think Floyd would do to Holly Holm in a boxing match? You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know, let's just keep everything real. Like without being hyped up, let's call blue blue, let's call green green. Let's not sit there and lie to each other about it. You know, and I think a lot of the things that Connor's been saying lately, it's been getting me more and more upset at just the way he is. You know, and I was a Connor. I mean, I like Connor as a fighter, but some of the things he's saying, I'm like, bro, you need to calm the fuck down. You know, you're like, I get it. You're gonna get all this money, but you're about to get the ass whooping of your life for all that money. So I guess if your health isn't that worth it that much to you, then okay. You know, but believe me when I say you will get beat really hard. It will not be pretty. You will be getting your ass beat on August 26th.
Angelo, two people that agree with you are Pam and, of course, my partner in crime, Proteus. So, Angelo, I'm going to throw a Proteus from Canada. Proteus, what you got for Angelo?
Yeah, hello, Coach. It's wonderful to be speaking with you. It's Proteus here with you. Please give our best to Pauly because he is one of the greats. Listen, my question is about Frank Mir because you touched on it a bit, and we, of course, have heard that Frank has received his release from the UFC. And as we heard him say on Monday, I mean, he has all of his options open now. And as you said earlier, okay, so let's talk about it. What do you see coming forward with Frank's career? I mean, we've seen that he's working, obviously, with the commentary, which I love because I think, you know, the UFC did not use him enough. I mean, we saw how great he was in the WEC. We're now seeing it in ABC. So let's talk about Frank Mir. Just give us the rundown on what you think is possible now that he's been released from the UFC.
Yeah, no, Proteus, I'm really glad you said that because that's so true, man. Frank Mir is such an intelligent, tactical, and just an awesome person, too. On the mic, he's just brilliant. So the fact that the UFC didn't use him actually was really a loss for the UFC. Frank was just on the MMA Hour two days ago talking to Ariel Helwani, and there is talks right now between Bellator and Frank Mir. ACB, of course, is another option. Keep in mind, Proteus, that Frank did have to sign an agreement that states he can't fight until next April. So that's April of 2017. But between now and then, he's free to negotiate and go to any one of the organizations. I'd be lying if I said I'd be surprised if he ended up at Bellator because I'm a big fan of Scott Coker. I think he's doing some brilliant things with Bellator. I really like the entire organization over there with Rich Chu and Mike Kogan and you know, I mean, even King Mo, I interviewed him for my show and he was trying to get Frank Hardy to come over and you can just tell that Bellator is an organization on the rise. They have a plan. They know what they want to do. They're building their brand and a Frank Mir would take their brand over the top. So I wouldn't be surprised if a Frank does end up at Bellator, but again, you know, Frank has plenty of options because just because Frank wasn't fighting this whole time, guys, doesn't mean he wasn't training. He was training. I was training him yesterday. We were doing a bunch of pads and striking. And even today, I'm about to head actually to Drysdale's Jiu-Jitsu to watch Frank do all of his BJJ because he's about to do an Abu Dhabi match with Chael Sonnen in September. So that's going to be a fun one for everybody to see. That's sort of like the grappling version of Mayweather McGregor, I guess, in a way. I mean, I kind of joke around about it because I can't see Chael submitting Frank. I mean, he's the greatest heavyweight submission MMA fighter we've ever seen, you know, but I mean, I guess anything is possible. I just don't see it. Right. No, Frank's been training. He looks great. In fact, his health has been fantastic. His speed is getting faster and faster by the day. You know, I was feeling his hands and his kicks yesterday and he's looking great. And actually, let me tell you this too, Proteus, and a name to watch out for is, so one of the fun projects that I'm getting a chance to have right now is Frank's daughter, Isabella Mir. She's only 14 years old, but let me tell you guys something, man. If you ever want to see like the next generation MMA fighter, this girl, if she really gets into it and does it, her level of both grappling and striking by the time she starts doing it is going to be so high. And this lady is super athletic. I mean, like, she already has colleges looking at her for softball, going into maybe Washington University or places like that. So Isabella Mir is definitely a name to look out for. But in the meantime, Frank's been having fun, obviously doing seminars, doing all of his commentating overseas, and guys, he's coaching, you know, he's one of the main reasons why Anna Houlton right now is so good at her grappling. And I'm excited whenever she makes her next announcement of when she's going to be back in MMA, that, you guys are going to see a little byproduct of what, Frank Mir, does when he's teaching and sharing the knowledge and sharing the information with a boxer, with a three-time world boxing champion like an Anna Houlton, and really seeing that conversion, you know. So Frank's doing a lot of stuff. There's a ton of options. Me myself, Proteus, I would love it if I can get Anna Houlton's promoter, Alan Tremblay, for boxing, to help maybe get Frank into boxing. And I think a huge money-making fight would be the return of Tyson Fury, who was talking all that smack about MMA fighters, against Frank Mir in a boxing ring.
Wow.
And Frank just tools him up. And then maybe if Tyson Fury wants to make more money and get his arms broken, we could throw him in a Bellator cage or something. So, you know, you never know.
Hey, Angelo, I got one more for you, and this is going to come from the one and only guy that was also on when you were on with John Orlando, but the one and only Marco from Waco. Angelo has the last question for you. I definitely appreciate your time, but I am going to hit you up with some Warrior news before we leave. But the one and only Marco from Waco, what you got for Angelo?
Hey, what's up, Angelo? I'm not going to be like these other guys and this girl that kiss your butt. I'm going to give you with a hard question. I agree with you that when it comes to boxing and MMA, the women's boxers are the ones that are making the transition easy. You know, you name Holly Holm, you're on fire, and then we got this girl, Heather, that make her debut in Brooklyn. Was it Brooklyn or MSG with Bellator?
Heather Hardy.
So, yeah, with Bellator, Hardy. Right?
Yeah,
right.
Yes, exactly. And I see it because the purses for them are more valuable, you know, when it comes to their payday in MMA, and that is actually a shame that they are getting paid better as MMA fighters than as boxers, and these guys are all world champions. So leave that what it may. When it comes to Frank Mir, I'm glad that he finally got released, you know, because, you know, it was warranted. But the ACB, you know, working for a Chechen dictator, you know, I don't know if you saw the expose on HBO Real Sport about this guy. He's basically working for freaking Hitler, dude. A guy that...
Right.
Purge, well, yeah.
I was going to say, Marco, what I was going to say was, I haven't seen the expose yet. I did hear about it. But from what I understand, you guys would have to really do the research. I'd have to do the research too. But from what I understand, the organization that Frank is working with, ACB, isn't related in any way to what the president is. So the president's not in charge of ACB, the Hitler guy that you were talking about. And it's not, the ACB organization isn't owned by that guy. It's kind of like saying, you know, like, let's say there are people that don't like, like a certain world leader in Europe or something. Well, just because I'm a promotion of Europe doesn't mean, I'm somehow involved with the president, you know, with the leader of Europe, you know what I mean? So again, I don't know the exact details, Marco, but I'm pretty sure, and I heard Frank talk about it with Ariel Helwani recently on Monday when I listened to the show, and I'm pretty sure that ACB isn't directly related to that president that was like the Hitler guy. But again, man, I don't know. I don't know the details. Yeah. So I'm sure, I'll put it to you this way. Frank's always been a very open person. He's always, you guys know, if you've ever talked to Frank, he's one of the friendliest, nicest, most humble martial artists you guys are going to be around. And he's not the type of guy to really dive in too much or be disrespectful to people's sex or gender or religion or politics. So I don't really see Frank getting involved in any of that type of stuff anyways, because he's just not that type of guy.
Well, like I said, yes, Angelo, I would love to be on a Frank's ear and say that perception is reality, and the perception out there is that the guy's got his tentacles on this organization. But listen, you talk Conor McGregor, and I understand all. You are a master of boxing. You know, you're a coach. You're a master of martial arts. And I actually expect Conor to lose, but I expect him to lose on a decision. That's just my opinion. But to say that Conor McGregor does not understand striking is disrespecting Eddie Alvarez, Jose Aldo, Dustin Poirier, Chad Mendes.
No, that's right. And you know what, Marco? You're absolutely right. And that's why I never once said that. In fact, I've been the opposite. I've 100% always said that Conor McGregor is one of my favorite people to watch when it comes to MMA striking. And you could look at like an interview I did a year ago with Robin Black, where I talked about how amazing Conor McGregor's karate is. But we're talking about just straight boxing, Marco. And if I'm training you, Marco, and you're doing boxing, and I don't think you're very good at it, I'm not going to lie about it if somebody asks me. If I watch you boxing and I don't think your boxing is good, you know what I mean?
Right now,
so.
I suck at boxing. I tell you right now, I suck at boxing. I tried out
of
the army, I suck at it.
Okay. But Marco, maybe you're good at MMA striking, though. So you know.
I don't tell you that much.
Angelo, I wanted to say this, though, my brother, as I'm looking at a photo with you and Anna Houlaton, your son, and Alexander Ricci, Alex Ricci, at the House of Prime Rib. Next time you're in town, man, I'll take you to the House of Prime Rib, one of my favorite places. But I do want to ask you this, my friend. You and I are both Giants fans. We're both Warrior fans. Got to ask you this. What are the Dubs going to do this year? Are they going to the finals again, and will they meet the Cavs again?
Well, 100%, the Dubs will be in the finals. They will close it out. They will win again. We're going to start to talk about how in the next year or two, if everything goes right, we might start comparing Kevin Durant to Michael Jordan with all the titles he's going to win with Steph Curry over there in the Bay. And I don't believe it'll be the Cavs again, because they got their own inner turmoil they're working with right now. So they got problems on their own. I don't know who's going to come out of the East, honestly. But I definitely know the Dubs, 100%. We'll be in the finals. We'll win again. And I'm going to take you up on that offer, Tony, because because you said that, I might just show up to the Bay next week. You never know.
You got it. Anytime. Angelo, honestly, I'm a big fan of yours. I love your work, man. And honestly, as great of a martial artist and boxer that you are, man, your mic skills are incredible. So, thanks for joining us. It's my pleasure, Angelo. Man, if we can ever get you back, I'd love to have you back on, my brother.
Oh, always, guys. Anytime, if you guys want to get me on, back on again before the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight, I'd love to be on. You guys are fun, man. You guys are awesome. And definitely, Tony, I'm serious. When I come to the Bay, I'm hitting you up, brother. I'm hitting you up.
Dude, you got it. You got it. Absolutely. All right, Angelo, thanks a lot, man. God bless you, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Bye.
The great Angelo Reyes. We follow him at, of course, Reyes Striking. We, of course, will listen to his podcast at The Cage Insiders. Man, I love this guy's energy. I am not joking. Maybe because we are two brothers from another mother. But, boy, I'll tell you, he and I are, I love that guy. All right, guys, let's move on. Marco with a hard-hitting question. Boy, he holds no punches. So let's move on, guys. I'm going to set up Pam on this one, Pam. The great Angelo
Alrighty.
Reyes, man. I'll tell you, Proteus,
I
love that
fun.
Guy.
He
I'm not going to lie. I love that guy.
Yeah, it was great.
But let's move on to someone that the beautiful Pam loves, Marco. Nico, the hybrid wife, 27 years young. 10-0 undefeated. He will fight Alan, the Brahma, Pam's favorite. I know he's not, but he's top five, I think, for you. Jovan, yeah. 34 years young, 15-5. I'm going to throw it to the beautiful Pam because the only reason why I moved her down because I wanted her voice on this Alan Jovan. Pammy, will it be the hybrid or will it be the Brahma?
Okay, so we've got Alan Jovan and Nico Price. Fight resume. That's what I'm looking at. Fight resume. Alan Jovan's got a better fight resume. He does have his loss that he did to, or he had against, what's his name? I can't think right now. I just got tired all of a sudden. Gunnar Nelson. Okay, so.
It was the
given that, I know. It was, right? Because I started having fantasies and that. Okay, anyway. Alan Jovan coming off of 3 wins. Mike Perry, such an impressive fight over Mike Perry, who everybody thought was going to give him the beat. Yeah. Alan Jovan, he's explosive. He is probably one of the most technical fighters out there. He does have KO power. He's a Muay Thai fighter. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu brown belt. But then you're going against Nico Price. He's got a 3-inch reach advantage. You know, and we've said before, those inches do matter. Both of them have impressionable records, 70 KOs versus 90 KOs, 2 subs versus 1 sub, 5 decisions versus 1. But again, I'm looking at his fight resume. Who has he fought besides Brandon Thatch? I don't know. So I got to go with my guy, Alan Jovan, and I'm going for a second round KO TKO for me.
Darn. All right. So no, Pam not holding any punches either. She's taking a little bit from Marco going, although honestly, Proteus, I think there's a little bit of heartthrob love there. So Pammy going with the second round TKO,
no.
Meaning I think
not
Pam has
you,
that.
Yeah,
Pam Puppy has that disease
yeah,
that
no,
I have for
really?
Misha Tate. I think, yeah. So Pam going with the second round TKO. That's right. She's
got
Brahma
right?
fever, but
fever.
Then again, of course. But then again, don't forget, she also chose Jovan over Platinum Perry. So I'm going to throw to you, Proteus. Will
Correct.
It be the hybrid or will it be the Brahma?
Yeah, sorry, I was giving you a hard time there. I think that you make a good point here.
Are you fantasizing too?
No, I'm not. But thank you. I think you make a good point, Tony. I think Pam, is clearly showing her favoritism on this one. Listen, Nick Price, I think, you look in his eyes here. I'm looking in his eyes right now. I wouldn't want to be on the other side of the cage with this fella. But, 10-0. He's not really any joke, right? I mean, he would be he's in the UFC for a reason. And I think that this is going to be another tough test for Alan. I don't know, man. I mean, it just seems like we're seeing a lot of these fights. I hate to keep repeating myself, but we just seem to be seeing a lot of fights where the guy who's established, like Jovan, who's got the high profile UFC career, he's got, other things going on for himself. Thank you, Pam. Should we just play Pony for the whole thing? So Pam just...
Yes, we should. Yes, we should. Yes.
I agree. Yes. I agree. I
just
agree.
Pony,
hang on. Let's do it right. All right, go.
You got to be fair. You got to be fair.
That's right. We do need to be fair. All righty.
Okay.
Oh my God. You know what? There's one thing that people cannot.
I'm vulnerable right now.
You all can't say that we don't have fun on this show because we do. I'm going to take Nick Price. I'm going to take him by maybe second round KO. I don't know where Jovan's at. You know what I mean? I don't know if his head is in the right place to be in the UFC where apparently the best fight the best, but I don't know, we don't see a lot of that Well, I guess we do because we're seeing it right here. Nick Price, second round KO. Thank you, Tony.
Darn, Proteus not holding punches. Let's go for the guy that threw the haymakers. Marco, we go to you. Tough hitting questions. I'm going to go with you on this one. Are you going? Well, hold on, Proteus. You went Nick Price.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. So someone already going. That's right. He didn't go a method around. Someone already going against Pam. So, Marco, will it be Nico Price or will it be Alan Jobon?
Music. Music.
There again, making me uncomfortable and vulnerable.
I know you were doing your magic, Mike, over there. Come on. Be
oh,
fun.
God. Oh, God.
On the left. Shake that booty. Shake the booty.
Look,
shake those nalgas.
Jovan. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Okay. Jovan is all-time team cutie pie. You know, we cannot deny that. The guy
team cutie pie. All right. Paid. Hashtag team yeah. cutie pie. Sorry.
Yeah. The guy gets paid by Versace for crying out loud. But... Keith
all right, sweetheart.
I mean, Mike, remember that Platinum Mike Price, man, was undefeated when he faced Jovan, and Jovan took his O away. So I kind of sort of respect him to do the same, you know. For all intents and purposes, Nico Price, you know, is undefeated and, you know, whatever. Never tasted defeat before. But at the same time, he's not like he's a super veteran and a he's about the same neighborhood that Platinum Price was, you know, about that 10-0 record.
Ooh.
And Jovan is a really experienced fighter, and he can dictate the distance and make it uncomfortable for Nico Price and see if he can outpoint him. And I'm going to take Jovan with his veteran savvy and the fact that he knows how to maybe fluster these guys that think they're unbeatable, you know, and put the first loss on this guy's record. So I'm picking Jovan on a 30-27 unanimous decision.
Darn it, I hate going behind. Yeah, I hate going after Marco because Marco then sways me. And, oh, boy. Thank you, Proteus. But I'm going to go with Marco on this one. Sorry, guys. He swayed me. I will say this as I'm looking at some of the models that are with Alan Jobon in that photo. Shout out to Gigi Hadid. I think it's Hadid, whatever. But I'm going with Mark on this one. I'm going with Jobon, three-round decision over Nico, the hybrid Price. Proteus, did you choose a method or
Nico
round
Nico.
When you chose?
Yeah, I said second
round.
Second round.
My bad.
Okay.
My fault. Nico de Dico.
All right. All right, so Marco going Jovan, Pammy going Price. Proteus agrees with Price. I'm agreeing with Marco on this one. Guys, let's hit the music because now we're obviously on fumes and we're running out of space. Man, I swear to God, you guys, I look forward to this show every single week because you guys make me laugh. And if I do this for anything else, it's just to be friends with you guys and have fun because this is – you guys make me laugh, guys. So I know. Hold on. Forget it.
So
all right, let's move on, guys.
I cried in my daddy's corner.
So we're finally
Marco
like a
ruined
clown.
It for – no,
do
no, not
to?
Funny. Thank you. That's a good movie. That's a thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
We're
funny like
Joe
a clown.
Pesci.
I make you laugh. Yep.
Yeah, thank you, Joe Pesci. All right, we go to the middleweight. We go, Marco, smiling, Sam Alvey, 31 years young, 39-1. And this is a guy I think fights too much. He will fight a guy that I wish wouldn't fight anymore, Sugar Rashad Evans, 37 years young, 19-6-1. Marco, we go to you. Will it be Sugar or will it be Smiling?
Ah, man,
the
Smiling is going to be a Smiling this weekend. Rashad Evans shouldn't move to middleweight the day after he lost to John Jones. Because if he didn't move to middleweight back then we would be singing a different tune, you know? He probably would be one of the best middleweights ever, and, you know, it would be a different story. As it is right now, he's on a 3-5 losing streak. He lost to Daniel Kelly for crying out loud. I don't, you know, I love Daniel Kelly. I think he's about that, you know, 5 years. but he's not at the level of Rashad Evans. 5 years ago, Rashad Evans would have murked Daniel Kelly, but he lost to the dude. And I don't think Rashad is on that space that he really wants to fight anymore. I don't even know what he's fighting. He made the move to middleweight too little too late for my liking. I mean, he's 37 years old. To put it into consideration, you know, Michael Bisping won the Ultimate Fighter season right after him. He's the middleweight champion. He's 38. But Michael Bisping will destroy Rashad Evans right now the way he's fighting. I think Sanabel is going to knock Rashad Evans out. I think he's going to knock him out in the second round. Everything else, you know, like I said, 3, 4, 5 years ago, Rashad Evans is a more athletic guy, the faster guy, best, you know, fighter. But at this point in his career, he's gun-shy, he's timid, he doesn't pull the trigger. And you cannot do that with Sanabel because Sanabel, if he got one thing on his arsenal, is he packs power, man. He tosses you, and you're in trouble. And that guy, when he smells blood, he'll finish you. So I'm picking Sam Alvey with a, you know, with a heavy heart because I really like Rashad Evans, and I'm picking him with a knockout on the second round.
Darn, Marco, picking Alvey second round,
yeah.
KO,
and
possibly ending.
And real quick, real quick, if Sam Alvey knocks out Rashad Evans, please retire. You got nothing else to prove, man. Anything else is just tarnishing your legacy. And you will be one of the best fighters up there, one of the standard bearers of the sport. But if you're not able to beat Sanalvi, what is there left for you? You know, just retire, please.
Darn, Marco making some bold statements tonight, guys. And unfortunately, if Sam Alvey beats Sugar, I think it will be his swan song. So I'm going to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be Smiling Sam or will it be Sugar?
Okay, you know what? This fight is one of those fights where, oh my gosh, you're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And even today I took my paperwork to, my notes to work because I was still with this fight. You know, who's going to win? But right here, you're looking, you know, they're virtually identical. The only thing that's different is their age. And there's a 6-year difference. But that 6 years, that's been a lot of pounding to the body, you know, for Rashad 6 years. The one thing that I'm looking at here is we're talking speed versus power. Although Rashad does not have the power that he once had, I believe that he still has the speed. Sam Alvey does not have, although he has the power, I don't think that he has the speed as far as movement in the octagon that Rashad Evan has. Both of them are wrestlers. Blue belt in jiu-jitsu, Sam Alvey, Rashad Evans, All-American wrestler. He's got a karate background. He has wins over Chael Sonnen and H-Bomb Henderson. So, again, a little bit I'm looking at fight resume here. And although I do like Sam Alvey, he has losses against Thales Leites, Elias, and Derek Brunson. You know, which I think Rashad could have taken those guys. So, you know, heavy-heartedly, although I love Sam Alvey, he's actually one of my favorites. I'm going, historically, I'm going with decision, Rashad Evans. I think he gets a decision, and I think he retires, or I hope he retires. But, you know, I'm just, like I said, speed versus power. I think Rashad's going to have the speed to get away from those powerful mitts of Smiling Sam.
You know what, guys? Before I hit it to Proteus, I agree with Pam 100%, so I'm not even going to give because same thing. I want Evans to retire. I think somehow he pulls one out, probably a decision. I wish I could say second-round KO for Sugar, but I just don't see that. So I just hope he goes back to the desk. But before I hit it back to Proteus again, I got to say, you guys are the best, and you guys always make my night. Right, Proteus?
Chuck away.
Thank you, Proteus. We go to Proteus. Proteus, will it be Smiling Sam Alvey, or will it be Sweetheart Sugar, Rashad Evans?
Chuck away.
I just have to say that's the best drop ever. I appreciate that 100%.
You are biased. You're just biased.
Thank you. I'm going to take Sam Alvey, just because the smile on my face is way too big right now. I'm going to take Sam Alvey by second round KO. I agree with all of you that Sugar should not be here anymore. I heard a lot of concern in his voice when he was on Ariel's show, the Fortnite, as we like to call it. Telling us that he's, you know, adjusted. He's been there for a really long time. He said he was there for a couple of weeks, but I didn't believe what he was saying in his, you know, I didn't believe the inflection in his voice at all. I think Sam Elvey goes up there and knocks him out in impressive fashion. First round KO.
Darn. Proteus putting the hammer down and gosh, agreeing with Marco Boyd. Talk about ruining my night. Thank you. All right. But
I think he's still fantasizing.
Oh, is that right, Aaron? Thank you, Aaron. Okay.
Are you still, fantasizing over there?
Let's get out of here, guys.
Well, Simon, you guys screwed me over last time. You gave me the big choringa last time, so no.
Oh, good Lord. What the hell? Man. Good Lord. All right, so never mind that. So, Tammy, give me the middle finger there and say, throw to the one and only Marco. Marco, as we get out of here, boy, what a great show, guys. The great Angelo Reyes. We follow him at Reyes Striking, and we follow his podcast. You know what, guys? We might have to do a pod swap. How about that? At the Cage Siders as well.
Swapcast.
Stealing from Swapcast, stealing from Brodius. All right, let's go to this. I'm going to throw it to the one and only Marco. Let's close shop,
Marco. I'm going to throw it right back to Brodius for him to plug whatever he needs to plug first. Go ahead, Brodius.
Yeah, sorry. We have Danny Austin and perhaps Showtime on Proteus's primetime show. We're coming to you from Friday night again. So we'll see what happens. But Danny Austin is locked in. But I don't know if Showtime can make it. But thank you, Marco, for allowing me to plug.
I am. You know what? I got to tell you today, you know who followed me finally was Danny Austin. So let's give a shout out to Danny Austin and follow him at Danny Austin.
Okay. _9.
Now. Danny _9.
Oh, sorry.
Anything you need to plug, Tony?
Oh, you know what? I'm dancing Saturday. So I'm dancing Saturday night. So I'm going to miss most of the card. My second set, I go on second. I'm coming off stage. I'm going to have my bag packed and ready to go. And I'm walking out the door in my costume and getting in the car. And we're coming home so I can finish watching fights.
And you know what? Stay tuned to for the pictures because they're always great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, guys, follow us at Another MMA Cast. Follow Tony at I Am DJ Tony. Follow Produce at Produce. Follow Pandora Box. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Rate and review us on iTunes, Taco Casey. It helps the algorithms and put us up on the iTunes chart. Great show. Thank you to Angelo Reyes for an excellent interview. You guys, you know, what made the show possible. We've got to meet you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fight.
I like that.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.